and welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook and I'm your host for the 419th podcast. As you know, though, it's not really for the 419th. We've done loads more. Joining us this week, he's back, finally. This only works in audio form because you can already see his smiling, cheerful face. Could be either of them. It's Christopher White. Hello, mate.
It's Brittany, bitch. How's it going?
I was all right until he said that. Yeah, no, it's
good. Oh, good. Good to be back. Good to be back.
Absolutely. Although, actually, Mick, you haven't been here for a while, have you? Definitely been
a week. 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks.
Mick Fraser also back. The boys are back in town, as somebody once said. Before we start the actual game discussion, and I'm rolling up my sleeves here, this is how serious this is. So, do you guys ever have this thing where you just, some random thought pops into your head and you can't shake it off, and you just, you think, don't forget this, save this for the podcast, because this has happened to me this week, and I need to share with you. And this may get cut completely if it turns out I'm a fucking moron. So, if I were to ask you the name of the video game...
An optimistic game, if.
No, yeah, fair point. If I were to ask you the name of the video game on the NES, the NES, okay, Nintendo Entertainment System, that involved a plumber and his brother, it was the first platforming side-scrolling game like that in the series, what would that game be?
Super Mario Bros.
Right, which stands for Super Mario Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, I'm scared because this is either moment or, oh God, he really is an idiot. This is Miles Tails Prower all over again. Yeah. Mario Brothers. Now, do either of you have a brother?
Yes.
Okay. No. So your surname is Fraser.
Yes.
So you would be the Fraser Brothers.
Yes.
Okay, you're with me on this logic, right?
Mm-hmm. Not the Michael brothers, that's where you're going, right?
This is where I'm going. Mick's well ahead of me here. So, question. Is Luigi's name Luigi Mario?
It is in the film. Do you remember the film?
We can't take the film.
I know, but I'm just saying it is.
No, but you
Mario
do,
Mario and Luigi Mario.
So is that canon? Is Mario's name Mario Mario? And Luigi's name is... Because if they're the Mario brothers, you wouldn't say... Yeah. Oh, like you say, you wouldn't say, oh, Chris, your brother. Yeah, you know, the Chris brothers. Because name's Chris. You would be the White brothers.
I think that was the joke they were going for in the film, but it was such a piss-poor film that everyone hates. That...
So what are you saying? That I'm channeling the humour of the film here? Is this?
I think you might be,
All right, but let's just table that thought before we get into the games. Is that joke wrong? The game is called Super Mario Brothers, or Mario Brothers, right? Which signifies the family name is Mario, or Mario. So...
Or Mario's last name is Brothers, and it's Super Mario Brothers, and Luigi's just in it.
So his name is Luigi Brothers.
Maybe
they're not even brothers.
But they're not.
This is pretty much like the old, you know, shower thoughts, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Maybe
like
Vincenzo Mario died before them. Maybe there's a prequel somewhere with.
Because the reason I say this, all right, is because if I'm Princess Peach, if I'm Princess Peach, I'm not marrying a man called Mario Mario.
No.
And no. Her name would be
Peach Mario, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a crap name.
Is Toad the child? I mean, Toad's not really the child, but would he be called Toad Mario? Which actually sounds all right. But this has been bothering me all week, and I nearly texted you guys.
Well. I think that's a worthy thing to be worrying.
I feel like I'm not. It's not like idiotic, is it?
It's a fairly plausible question.
He says, we've talked about how I worry about the IQ of Mario. But he does say things like, it's a me, Mario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that could still be his surname. You know,
he doesn't actually say anything else, does he?
Noel, sort of. A bit kind of like a clown, right? Woohoo!
Wasn't he a villain once? Isn't that like...
Well, only in Donkey Kong's eyes, I suppose.
He was the original Donkey Kong. He was like the bad guy, wasn't he?
I mean, I haven't really got a segue into Little Nightmares 2, if I'm honest. So I suppose we should talk about some games we've actually been playing. Although I have been playing some Mario Kart Live, and we'll get onto that. But I think the biggest things we've been playing this week are definitely Mr. White based. The Chris brothers have been playing Little Nightmares 2 and some Valhalla. And I know there's a man here, Mick, who wants to hear about Valhalla. But let's talk about Little Nightmares instead.
Because I want to hear about that too, actually.
Well,
I nearly wanted to play that myself, actually.
Yes.
So, yeah. My kids are—they're obsessed with it. They probably shouldn't be. Probably shouldn't say that. Just...
Well, I don't know, because it's a weird one. It is a horror game, but it's kind of nice. Mm. Like, I can see why kids would play it, because there are some creepy bits and there's like blood spatters and stuff like that. But it's kind of like
it's got a very cartoony look, yeah, hasn't it?
It's not like full on gross, yeah, horrific. Like,
it's like one of those PG-13 cartoons that was around in, was it? Not, yeah, PG-13, but like, yeah, like,
yeah, no, it is
like Nine. What was that? That,
yeah, 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 yeah,
Nine, that, like that.
That's apocalyptic.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, it feels like that. It's kind of like a step up from Tim Burton, like the next horror phase, right, of that.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But it's gorgeous. Like, it's such a beautiful game, and like the first game was kind of set in the mall, wasn't it? Whereas,
yeah,
yes,
there's a lot of different kind of settings in this game. But the one I played was in a hospital.
One of the actual problems I had with the first game is that, like you said, there, the game was set in the mall, but people only knew that because they were told it. It never,
yeah,
actually.
Oh yeah, no.
That's one issue I had with the game, and that people, because a lot of people wrote that in the review, and it's like, how did you know that?
I remember you saying that. At the time.
I did. I definitely did, because it's like you've read that somewhere, but you've not learned that from the game. There's,
It's one of those games that people have plumbed for lore, like big time. There's lots of videos on that.
I don't know that it needs to have lore. Like,
there's a lot of it, apparently. A lot of hidden little. There's a lot of little things they've put in there.
But the main thing I probably had. And it's probably, I don't even know if you can really go there, because this is a preview build. It's not the full thing. Elephant in the room, Limbo, Inside. It's one of those games, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just a much more fleshed out, smarter game. The puzzles are multifaceted. There's like there's a lot of kind of areas and they're quite big. There's not a load of exploration. It is very much a side scroller, but it's just gorgeous to explore. And like the hospital that was in the preview, there is some weird shit around. Like, there's mannequins. Like, from the first minute of the game, you're in this room with like mannequins in wheelchairs, and their heads are like taken off, and it's kind of like Sid from Toy Story's had a bash with him and just kind of taken feet off him and put them on the head, and it's just messed up. And then when you finally get going, you start to encounter some of like the enemies, and there's literally like Uncle, like the hand from Adam's Family. Like, there's a load of like hands that try and attack you. But the worst kind of things are these mannequins and because the game is quite dark, there's like this period where you go into a dark room and these mannequins start coming to life, and it's pretty much pitch black. You can see the outlines of them, and you can see where you're supposed to go, but they'll come to life, and if you shine your light on them, they'll stop. So you've got to use your torch to kind of get through certain areas. And there's this one area towards the end of this preview where there's about 10 mannequins in this room all chasing you, all coming at you from different angles, and you've kind of got to maintain a steady thing with your torch whilst trying to escape, and it's terrifying. And then like there's this other bit where you're running through this kind of corridor in the hospital, in a hospital wing, and all these cell doors, like rooms, and these like mannequin arms burst through, and you like they're just tens of them, like just a lot of them just coming at you, and you're trying to dodge them. So it makes you shit yourself. It's not particularly like, as I say, it's got a kind of childlike feel to it. I think that's partly because you're controlling children in it, and it's kind of a reflection on how they see the hospital, how they see everything, and it's just a really good game, like, so far. And it's a preview build; it'll come out till next year, so you know there'll be a lot more work done to it.
It's like February,
yeah. But like, I can't wait to play more. It did leave me like wanting to play more. I know that's a cliche.
No, but I wonder how big it is.
Especially because... how it ends as well.
Do you know if you're... I mean, again, I don't even know if you can say this. I can't remember. Do you know like where this slice is? Like, is it the start of the game? Is it?
I have no idea.
Really?
There's no obvious... Yeah. No, it wasn't obvious, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say it's near the start because of what you see at the end kind of sets the tone for what you're likely to see later, but...
Right.
Like, some of the puzzles, and I say this in the preview, like, they're not hard, but
no,
you don't see them straight away. They're not obvious.
Most of them seem to be
perfect kind of puzzle game. Yeah, it's the perfect kind of puzzle game. When you've solved it, you kick yourself because you should have thought of that. ages ago. Yeah. But yeah, it's a great use of light as well in the game, and like the visually, it's sexy, very sexy. Lovely, lovely game. And it was only like an hour build, but it had me playing for at least two, just because I was exploring all the rooms. I was like, the challenges were difficult, so it took me a while to do some. But like, on the whole, like, the tone of it is very good. The music's really great. It's not a lot of it, but it just helps to build the atmosphere. And I think it's going to be a lot better than the first. I'm really looking forward to play more. Yeah, it's good, man.
I mean, I definitely want to play it because I did enjoy. I think I gave the first one like a 7.5. Or something. I think it was one of the lowest scores. But I still liked it. Like, it, you know, it's a good game. I just felt like there was... it didn't feel like it took the genre and went, this is our stamp on it. It just felt like one of those. And I know they've, like you said, they've added a lot, and I think they've added co-op and, you know, there seems to be more. But then, as I understand it, relatively small studio is making it. You know, it's... Yeah, I'm up for it. I'm up for playing.
Yeah, Tarsia Studio. Yeah.
It's also been a little while since kind of games, I think. I can't think of too many.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the last one was Inside, wasn't it? Surely.
Yeah, I can't remember. That was ages ago. There was one that was set in like some sort of dystopian Russian oppressed kind of state. We did review it, and I can't remember the name of it. It came to everything eventually. I don't know who reviewed it, and I can't remember its name, so there's no way I can even Google it. But there was one. I'm sure it was like a Russian thing. I remember a puzzle where you had to get on an ex. There was a guy on an exercise bike, and you had to get on it and pretend to be hit. It doesn't matter. I can't remember the name of the game, so it's no use to anyone. But yeah, you mean you can read the preview of Little Nightmares 2, and you'll see some video as we're talking. It does look very, very pretty, very atmospheric. It's doing my head in that Namco or Bandai Namco have Little Nightmares 2 and Little Hope. And that's been really fun with embargoes to juggle the two games that both start with Little, both have the same publisher. both are scary, sort of. It's really interesting to me that they put like a preview build of this out to media. Because I assumed, it's out this year then. And I think I read your preview and it was like February. It's like, wow, that's
February, isn't it? Yeah.
That's a long time away but this was in the quite context a big... of things.
I think it's been quite a big YouTube-y, Twitch-y game, though, Little Nightmares.
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why I've seen the whole game, because my kids just watched endless videos of people playing without ever playing it. And and I think that's probably might be partly the reason, because that preview is probably going to be all over YouTube for a little while.
Yeah, so but I've seen today. It has lifted, and I've seen people already... doing videos, and it'll be so it sounds like it's going to be one of those, you know, where the thumbnails someone going and you know, like, you know,
yeah, it's kind of yeah
you know what I mean, right?
It's a thumbnail of a YouTube and a bit
yeah
a bit cultie and a bit YouTube-y, but it's
another game though that we must talk about. It's a little bit a while ago now, but obviously because you haven't been on the pod, Chris, like, you played, I mean, easiest way to do it is to say a full day of Valhalla. Or maybe I could phrase it as nearly 600 gigabytes of video of Valhalla. Holy shit, that's a lot of footage to go through still.
I can't wait to play Valhalla. I'm so jealous. Have you played it twice now?
Well, actually,
I've played about 12 hours into it.
Yeah. Now this new... well, not new version. This new session you had, which was an 8-hour full day session... It was like I said, it was a few weeks ago now. Did you say in the was it from the start? What am I imagining that?
No.
Okay, so
yeah, I don't know.
Jesus Christ, so you still haven't played the intro of the game.
No. It basically throws you into a story with some of the biggest kind of historical figures in like Viking history, like the Ragnarssons. Mm-hmm. So like Ivar, Uba, and Sigurd are all like Ragnar Lothbrok's like children, who, if you watch Vikings, for example, he's like one of the main characters, but he was also, it wasn't clear whether he even existed in those times. But anyway, his sons are like very different. Like Ivar the Boneless is like one of the most brutal figures from that time. Like there was rumors he was called the Boneless because his legs didn't work. Is also a rumor because he couldn't get an erection.
Sorry.
That's like a weird humor about it.
Slow down. I don't feel like it should be a rumour if someone's legs work or not. I feel like that's quite an easy one to corroborate.
I think it's just one of those things. I've read about this because it's just one of those things.
Thing, I get that someone needs to. That's a bit less obvious.
It also could have meant. I read that it also could have meant that he was a coward because the bone could have taken. Those spies and things. But,
yeah.
Okay. But if you watch the show Vikings, he's just a fucking.
Yeah, I don't. But it's fine.
It's a great show.
I know who Thor is. Is he in it? I mean.
I know, well, they said that that's all coming, didn't they? I know we're talking about like a preview of a game now, but I read that they've already got like their roadmap and they've already said there's going to be mythology and monsters and gods and all sorts in it.
Because what's Thor's surname again?
Fingers crossed.
Odinson.
Okay, which is also, it's kind of up there with Mario, isn't it? Like really, like kind it's just, it's more Mario Luigi or Luigi Mario,
isn't it?
It's
like the Viking version of Bob Johnson.
It follows him and his brothers and you're... I didn't play as Eivor for the whole thing. Just because
is that how you say it?
I really like the Eivor is the female assassin. Yeah, because
okay,
I think so. Because
no, this isn't a bit. I don't know.
Are they different characters again? Like because before you know, like in Odyssey where you had Cassandra. Yeah. And I can't remember the.
I thought they'd done it.
You can switch naturally.
Yeah, I thought they'd done it so that it was the same. Just one's a man and one's a woman. But they're the same.
Right, so you can switch at any time to be in male or female?
I think so, yeah. But there was a mention of her brother in it, in the game when I was playing it, so I don't know. But I don't know whether you never see him. It might just be... And like, he might have just a sister. But as far as I'm aware, they're the same character. You could just switch between them whenever, which is cool. Yeah. But so you're basically... helping this king or this guy become king of Mercia, which is like around where I live. So like Mercia was like the Midlands, like so Leicester.
Are you in the game, Chris? I know Ubisoft have started putting influences. Are you in the game?
I ran past my house. Yeah,
he's in the game on an Easter in the background. Fuck off.
Yeah, I'm
keep the noise down
in the background. So you're helping him to become king of this area, and you travel to like Repton, which was a big like historical significance, where like these battles took place back in the 9th century and whatnot. And you're basically trying to get this king removed and get your guy in charge. So I played through that whole story thread, but it was like go nuts, just play it, play 8 hours. Do the story, but definitely just go and do whatever you want. So it was essentially simulating what it's going to be like when you get it, because you don't have to like, there's not just one little bit to complete and that's it. It was free reign of everything. So you can go. So what I did was I found all the treasure, because it's like kind of split into three categories of what you can find in certain areas and what you can do in certain areas, rather than it feeling very disjointed. It feels like there's definitely a clearer path for what you can do dependent on where you are. So one of the things I try to do is gain all the wealth within the area. And that's a case of going to like monasteries and starting raids, which you can do whenever you want. And like that's what I played in the other preview, but this one I got to do a lot more. So you can basically take your clan with you on your longboat and then decide to raid somewhere, press the Y button, jump out, start raiding, kill everyone, find all the treasure, and then that's like one area completed. And then there are things called, I can't remember, but they're basically books. And when you find a book, it gives you a new special ability to use. And these special abilities are triggered by holding the L trigger or the R trigger. So the L trigger has abilities specific to your bow and arrow. Or your more like your long ranged attacks. So you can use them that they're more powerful, use them for like kind of like auto targeting. There's another one where you can call your raven down and it can distract one of the enemies. So there's a lot of different kind of abilities.
Do you know, like watching, because obviously I asked a really stupid question when I was putting the video together of this, that because you kept mentioning dual wielding, and I'm going through like 8 hours of footage and I was like, I've got to ask him. Like I messaged Chris and said like, Chris, you keep mentioning dual wielding and there's 8 hours of footage and I can't find you doing it at all. And of course, he was shield and the whole time, that every minute of the 8 hours was dual wielding. Yeah. So I went back to it and I started looking again. But because I was scrubbing through so much footage, the stuff you mentioned with the bow and arrows and like calling the eagle down, do you know, because I feel like a lot of people, and they have, a lot of people who watched our footage have said, like, you know, oh Ubisoft's The Witcher. And I 100% get it. The game that kept coming to my mind was actually Ghost of Tsushima. Because of the way you, maybe it was the way you were playing, because I suppose you weren't playing Ghost of Tsushima that long ago. But yeah, it definitely seemed to me more like you were in like these big open fields and enemies were coming at you. They were like random encounters, like in Ghost of, like in Red Dead. And you would be mixing it up with like, there's just some kind of sword and board, or axe and board. And then you'd, you know, be doing like arrows again, like Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah.
Am I like off the mark?
No, you're sparring it. It's definitely more like that.
That's good though. That's
than
a good
the
thing.
Former. Yeah, like you,
because
there's
all kinds
of shit kicking off.
But
go on,
like,
sorry,
also, man, looking at James's preview recently, his footage of not Gods and Monsters, Immortals, Phoenix Rising, also made me think of Ghost of Tsushima with this whacking great open world where you can go anywhere and get involved in anything. And I just wonder if that's Ubisoft's new twist on the...
I think because back in that time, there were a lot of fields and a lot of open spaces. Yeah. There weren't a lot of communities. They were very kind of limited. And when like the world itself, like, it's going to be mental how big this place is.
Yeah.
And like,
Odyssey was huge.
Well, this
Odyssey
is what I was going to ask. Yeah. Is Ubisoft are getting... I mean, like Watch Dogs Legion, I previewed, and again, I get the sense it's a big game and a long game, but it's London, or a smaller version of London from what I played in the preview sense. Immortals Phoenix Rising looks big in a different way.
Yeah.
This, I'm just keep thinking of whatever the Origins or Odyssey, whichever the last one was ridiculous. And I'm, because they sort of initially said, oh no, it won't be that big, and now they were saying actually it is.
It looks just like, even Origins was massive.
Yeah,
because
I
remember playing the shit out of that, like, and that was huge. And then like Odyssey's mental as well. Like,
the map in Odyssey is scary.
It actually put me off. I realized, I looked at it and I was like, I just can't do this.
The England is a smaller place, or Britain is a smaller place.
But it is, but it's about scale, isn't it?
But
London is a big place, but if you put all of London in a game, that's still a bloody big map to walk from A to B. And I don't know, like, what, again, you've played, what, 12 to 14 hours-ish. Did you get the feeling, because like with Watch Dogs, the thing I came away thinking is, yes, this is London, but this feels like it's going to be a very long game. Not necessarily, but... What do you think, in a preview sense?
Yeah, I think in a preview sense, you can spend up to 100-150 hours playing
this.
That's a standard for Ubisoft with Assassin's Creed.
You're right. I think the story's not going to be that long, obviously, but I think your story will be 20 to 30 hours, and then the rest...
still quite long, just for the record.
I know.
This is the problem. The problem I have, though, with Ubisoft games is that, like Ghost of Tsushima, right, for example, I know because we just mentioned it.
Yeah.
So as you know, I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima pretty much since launch. Like, I've just been dipping into it in between things. I've probably done about 50 hours. I'm about halfway through Act 2 still, because we had this chat before.
This is what I said, because I remember saying it on the pod, like where Chris said,
"Yeah,
oh, I finished the story." And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, but that's not the whole story. Yeah.
The point is, though, that Ghost of Tsushima, for example, and I felt the same with The Witcher, like, you can go and do the story if you want, or you can go and do the side quest if you want, or you can do a mix of both. But like Origins and Odyssey definitely did this, and I worry that Valhalla will do the same because Black Flag also did it. Assassin's Creed games, as a rule, tend to reach a point where you get stuck if you're only playing the story. You have to go and do other things. I remember in Black Flag, there's a bit where you have to go and level up your ship. And the only way you can level up your ship is to do side things. There's a point in Odyssey where you suddenly reach an area where you just cannot survive a fight. No matter how good you are, you can't survive a fight because you can't do any damage and everything near enough one shots you. And you have to go and level up. You have to go and increase your skills. Or you could buy the booster packs, I guess, which is another conversation. But that annoys me because If a developer says to me, our game is 150 hours in this, if you want, I fucking love that. That's brilliant. Breath of the Wild, I'll sit and play that. But I don't want to have to be forced to play the extra content just to do the story. Because some games I like to power through the story, get it out of the way, and then go and just do the rest.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And Ubisoft do have a tendency sometimes to force that. And I can get it, because if you're a developer that spent God knows how many millions of dollars or whatever, and all this time and all this effort to build this world, you want people to see it. You want to give them a reason to go and explore the world. So I do get it, but I kind of don't like it when your hand's forced a little bit. What I'm kind of worried about with Valhalla doing the same.
But I mean, if the story's good enough, like, you know, you think about it, The Last of Us Part 2 is a 30-hour game, and it's kind of heavy on story. So I mean, I'm not saying that they're going to be able to nail it like, you know, Naughty Dog, but like, because Chris, the thing, what I suppose what I'm getting at is, you came away from this kind of desperate to play more of it, and you played 8 hours in a sit. Well, you had probably had lunch in between, but you played a shitload of it and still want more.
Yeah, the second sitting 8 hours was spent in one area, and I managed to do a shitload of stuff. In a way, I felt like I hadn't scratched the surface.
That's
because
mad.
I'd only been focusing on collecting all the wealth of it was Leicestershire was the place, which is essentially Leicestershire. That's what it was called, and doing my head and everything.
It's great.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're trying to sort of make a portmanteau of Red Leicester and Cheddar and Leicestershire. Like, because whenever you said that, I can't stop thinking of Red Leicester and Cheddar, and that's wrong on so many levels.
Never wrong thinking about cheese. The story, like, I know very little about Eivor. Like, I still don't know anything about her. It was
12 hours.
Yeah.
Total.
Because it wasn't really focused on her. It is her story, but I don't know the beginning. I don't know why she's in England.
You know what? That's a good point.
I don't know anything really.
Have they shoehorned the Abstergo crap into it? Do you know?
Was it? I don't think you're allowed to talk about that.
I wouldn't know, honestly.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see anything.
Fair enough.
No, there was something about it, but I never came across it.
Sooner or later, someone's got to say, is it really worth the development time of putting this into the game?
This is what I can say. I haven't played this game, so I can't comment, but I have seen on a Reddit thread somewhere, someone showed that it is in there. And I haven't played it, so I'm not breaking any embargo.
It's so, yeah. It so breaks the flow of every Assassin's Creed game.
You say that, but man, but if Chris didn't see it in a combined 8-hour and 4-hour session... I feel like they are listening, and they're like, "Mate."
Because I think in Origins, it's now like it's following the story of like a soldier, and she's
it's a named character. Doesn't matter though.
Yeah,
it's just
so weird. Because she's
I mean,
really
that's worth
not
watching the video
the...
version for. That is a very big bottle of orange drink.
Pop.
Orange drink.
That's pop. It looked like Tizer.
Pink drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair
so,
play.
So yeah. Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
I can't
cracker.
Fucking wait to play, man.
I mean, when's that? That's really that's good. A launch game for next gen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've just announced the additional content that's coming. Like, you're going to Paris.
What?
Yeah, there's
Vikings?
Like... Yeah, I think.
Oh, of course, because they do those weird, like, they did all the Greek god battles and the other ones, didn't they? And
yeah, but they go to Paris anyway. They want to conquer Paris.
I'm not up on history or Vikings. Like Thor Odinson, I watch.
Yeah. I've seen like the image of the main character stood in front of like the giant wolf, like Fenrir or whatever. So there's putting the mythology
really.
Into Odyssey, didn't they? A little bit.
Yeah, I mean it's called Valhalla as well.
Yeah, so.
Fair
so
point.
You'd think that, I mean, they've got plenty to use, so.
Yeah, no, that's
but
fair.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Anything else you've been playing, Chris, before we move on?
No, I can't really talk about it.
If this ends up as a shorter episode, just know that there are lots of embargoes, and
yeah,
I mean
everything.
Lots of embargoes.
Everything I'm touching is embargoed, yeah, right?
I mean,
I can't talk about anything.
I can talk.
I can't tell you that I'm
briefly.
Playing Cyberpunk 2077. Oh,
no, you can't tell them that because you're not. It would be a lie. the Falconeer, I played a very, very, very small bit on. I just wanted to touch on because it's a game that runs at a very high frame rate, and we're getting into that era now of of that's something we have to talk about. Games running at 4K. I've upgraded my stuff, and it looks very, very pretty. And it reminds me of a game I can't place because it's a sort of flight game where you are literally the Falcon, and you can shoot because it's not obviously realistic. It's very beautiful looking, and it runs as smooth as it's so smooth running.
What's that flight game where you just float? Where you just float? You're in like a flight suit. Yeah. Valley. Do you remember Valley?
No. So it's not that one. But this is like, for me, the only issue I've got with it so far is one of like, so you know, you can go around and you can shoot and you can dive bomb into the water to pick up mines, which you can drop on like ships and stuff. The issue I have with it is that in terms of perspective, you know, you're a flapping bird. You're a flapping bird, and like, so you swoop in and you get the bomb, and then you've got to drop it on the top of the ship, but your camera view is just behind the bird flapping away, and I kept missing, and I don't know if that's something I'm going to get better at and it won't be an issue, but you can lock on, but you end up locking on with like, I forget which button it is. You're like pressing one button to lock on, then you press another button to change, like rather than just drop it, just shooting the ship, you're shooting the gun on the ship. So it's like a sub-targeting system. Yeah. And then there's like another button to drop the bomb, another button to shoot. There seems to be something where you have to fly into the lightning to recharge your ammo, but I think you can kind of overheat. There's a lot of... I need to dig into it more because it's beautiful and it sounds great and it's kind of weirdly different and interesting. And being that it's like a next-gen launch title, I think, because they've been touting it for like 120 frames and 4K and all that. So I kind of want to, you know, it's a next-gen game, sort of.
You do tend to get those games around a launch, though, don't you? You do tend to get those games that aren't really...
But, man, I don't know. I think this is going to be the weirdest console launch ever because there is no next-gen games... No. At all on any platform because no. Yakuza Like a Dragon is a next-gen game, but it's not. It's just on everything. You know, even Spider-Man Miles Morales is a next-gen game, but it's not. In fact, Demon's Souls, I think, is the only one that is just on next-gen, right?
I think that's the only one I can think of.
Ratchet and Clank? No, it's not.
I think Demon's Souls is the only one. And Demon's Souls is a weird one to be saying, well, this is what we've got, because that's not going to... Everyone's going to play Demon's Souls, surely.
Well, they might if there's...
They might flock to it. I don't think everyone's going to play past the first few hours of Demon's Souls.
I would love to see someone going... Like, oh, I've just bought a PS5, and I mean, this is totally nothing to do with the Falconeer, but to play that and be like... What the fuck is this game? What's this launch title? You know, but yeah, I mean, we are in a bit of a weird... It's a weird thing. You know, we are almost looking at the consoles in a different light because it is almost a case of how does this game run on this console compared to the one it's also available on, you know?
I'd wait, if it wasn't for the fact that we do what we do and we want to be on that edge, I don't think I'd worry about waiting in this because it's really not that much.
I've seen some videos of the next gen, like the Series X. I've seen some videos with the loading stuff. Mm.
I saw someone on Twitter was saying, "Oh, you know, loading times this, that, and if that's the only thing you're selling." But like for me, for example, like Monster Hunter World, like I know I've mentioned this before, but I have just given up on PS4 to the point where I've just fucking modded to get into where I was on the PC version because the loading times, but the loading times, it's insane. Like,
see, now,
you...
the thing is, as I understand it, the option is actually there for loading times on these consoles to be faster than like my PC, which is fully SSD'd up, because they know what is in the Xbox Series X, in the PS5. It's specific hardware design to make the benefit of those load times. Whereas a PC is like one of how many brands. You know, that's why I think like Sony would, and I kind of get that now. Now there's these comparisons been revealed. I kind of get why Sony is saying like these are good. We're going to have a list of SSDs that you could buy, and that's why. But yeah, the Falconeer. I need to play more. Chris, I know you're going to play some of it.
Yeah.
It looks gorgeous.
I've got a question, right?
Yeah.
Is it Game Pass? Sorry.
That's all right.
Don't know.
If it's Game Pass, I might check it out.
No, I don't think so. Go on, Chris. Which question? Let me just
try and the bird is firing weapons.
Yep. Yep.
How? From where?
It's a game.
Is he tooled up?
Is he rigged up? Has he got like a cannon?
Yeah.
I mean, you'll be able to answer this yourself soon, I know. But like on his, on its kind of between its wingspan, there's like two little blue diamonds. There's definitely some mythology or lore here.
It's not just doing massive shits. And just like...
No. Like each mission, it's kind of like I'm trying to think of the character. Do you know, like he's always got a monocle on and a white mustache, like that kind of, you know, the general almost is like, we've got to go and do this mission. Like, it's very much that kind of thing, like telling you need to do this and that and this and that. So there is lore to it.
Yeah. Now I'm looking forward to play it. It looks amazing.
It does look really, really, really pretty. Mario Kart Live Home Circuit. Now, okay. I was not expecting much from this to the point where Nintendo sent it out and I was like, it was almost a case of like, I've got to unbox this, put this all together. And it's not me being like a complete joyous, you know, fun sponge here. It's just a case of I just didn't think it would do anything for me. It's so good. Your kids, both of you, because your kids are both younger than mine, would love this. Love it. And I think one of the reasons I love it is because I didn't have a remote control car as a kid. I had one, and this will tell you about my upbringing and how well off we weren't. Mine had a wire on it. And I don't know if you've ever seen a child try to play with a wired remote control car. It's fucking tragic. And then when your mates come flying along with their flat, because we live in a well-off area, when they come flying along with theirs, they literally bounce because they're so, like, they've got proper suspension and all sorts of stuff like that. It's kind of tragic seeing that. And I don't know who ever thought that was even a good idea. This is a remote controlled car. This is what it is, but it's controlled with the Switch. Because the Switch is, you know, I've got one right here. You can literally have it in your hand and be just driving it around. And that is genuinely, I'm trying to turn the fucking thing off now, actually fantastic. It is genuinely cool. And you don't need that much room. This is the thing that shocked me. The biggest thing that shocked me, actually, I think, is that you don't need that much room. So I've put it in my lounge where there's like a dog running around. My wife just bought him a new bed at Aldi because she's a soft touch, and it's this huge bed for a relatively small Cocker Spaniel. And it takes up most of the real estate that was left in the room. But you can go under your tables, and actually our sofa's on legs. You can go under there. You just have to be able to have the room to put these four... kind of checkpoints, gates they're called, and you just drive between them and make a course any shape you want. The thing is, the reason you don't need much room is because it's not going very fast. Like, it looks like it is perspective, because you're looking at a camera, so the camera's going like, you know, and it's really moving along, but it isn't actually moving. It's just more like, and it's like you can turn slowly, like almost like a truck. But because of the camera being down low and it moving, the camera literally being what you're seeing, it on the game screen, it looks like it's going a million miles an hour. And there are 50cc, 100cc, 150, 200. So it does actually get quite quick at 200. The cool thing about this is you actually can get mushrooms. Like, you can get a mushroom power up and you press it, like left bumper, and you do that, and your cart does get a boost. If you go into a banana skin, you don't spin out in real life, but it does stop your car momentarily as if you'd spun out. All this is really in there. It just works. And I have seen some videos where, like, because it's based on the Switch's Wi-Fi, so the connection between the Switch Wi-Fi and I should have brought the car to show the camera, but like the Wi-Fi between the two. And I guess there are situations where if you have like a poor Wi-Fi signal or too many devices, but I have so many devices in this house. It glitched a few times. I drove it out of the lounge into the kitchen, made the dog bark a bit more.
What's the traction like on different surfaces? Like, is it all right on carpets then?
It's fine on carpets. It's not as quick as it is on... So this is the thing, right? So you can't... So the one thing that's a bit of a shame is it's very much got Nintendo's do things safely, you know, motto. So you can jump it off a small ramp or go up a ramp and back down, but you can't easily set that up. The idea is you set your gates up and you then drive that course, and it's literally the Lakitu throws paint on each wheel and you're painting the floor for to be the course that you know, and that's quite cool. But if you do a jump, it thinks you've picked the car up or taken the car off the ground, and it doesn't want you to do that when you're creating a course. So you'd have to remove the jump, so to speak, run the course, and then put the jump back. So it ain't a game breaker, but it is a bit of a shame. At 50cc, it will struggle to get up any half decent incline. As you get up the you know, and you unlock them as you go. As you get up the sort of speed, you can. I've driven on carpet. It didn't like it as much as it did wood floor. But it does work. It's just very expensive.
So what do you get per pack? Do you get two cars?
One car.
So you basically...
200 quid if you want both. If you want a car for both your girls, it's 200 quid. And the thing is, I've seen people speculate that maybe they'll release the cars individually. Well, the thing is, what you get basically is you get one car. The software's a download, so there's nothing. It's a free download. You could download it now. You wouldn't be able to do anything with it, but you don't need to have a code. It's just a free download. You get one car, Mario or Luigi, depending on which pack you buy. You get four gates and two sort of speed things that they're just like arrows on them, and you just put them, and basically to direct people on the course. But the gates are just cardboard. They've actually released a thing for you to print it off and make your own gates. It is just cardboard. So the idea
that's
of saying
really expensive.
That's what I'm saying. So the idea of people going, control. Oh, they might put out Luigi as a separate thing. I don't really see where they're going to save any money, because the rest of the things in the box are cardboard. And they are kind of saying the cars are $99.99. And if it was 100 quid for a two pack, like there was Mario and Luigi in there, I'd maybe be here going, do you know what? For your kids, both of you, for the age they are, 100% whack this under the Christmas tree. 100%.
Yeah, I would buy that if it was.
But where you are right now, and also it's worth mentioning, if you did add a second car, then they can race, of course, but then you do need a bit more room, because, I mean, if you two just chat amongst yourselves, the car's behind me and I'll show you the scale of it, okay?
Yeah.
Right, mate.
Yeah, he's a prick, isn't he?
Yeah, okay. I can't stand him. Fuck, he's gone.
If it was like this all the time, let's just say it'd be better.
I forget
the details, but all right, mate. How are you? All right.
Yeah, I'm not stupid. so, microphone. I mean, that is the car, okay? And this is really poor. I mean, you see what I mean about the camera now. This is poor for an audio form, but that's why, you know. And it's even got this even little smart thing. The USB is hidden away. But I'm just trying to think of what I could do as a comparison, really. Like, is a PlayStation controller, for example. You know, it's a big old car, really.
If you had two of those trying to go side by side,
exactly. That suddenly means there's a lot more room, or a lot less room. I will say I do like it though. Like, that's the reason it was up there behind me, because I really kind of dig how it looks. You know, it's no, a smart.
If it was like you could, because if you're gonna get two packs as well, you're gonna have eight checkpoints. So you could build a massive car. I wouldn't like. I'm not trying to. I think it's still shit. That
I mean, it's worth saying they are proper rubber wheels as well. They're not. And my God, I went under my sofa and they came back grey. I genuinely love this thing, and if I had paid for it, which is an important thing to say here, I hadn't. I would be happy with my purchase, because I think it looks really cool. Okay, and it is something I'll get out and show people and be like, yeah, look at this. This is a really... It's the best use of augmented reality I've seen in anything. Like, it is genuinely so cool. It's also kind of novelty to see your house from that level. Like, driving around. And you know, I don't know if you've got an equivalent, but I know, Chris, you have with your dog. There's something to be said for driving... Like, my dog hated this at first. He warmed to it. But there's kind of like... You see, I mentioned about your kids' age. My kids are older. They're both teenagers. I eventually got them to come down by saying, look, I'm really a bit annoyed here. I really thought you'd come and have a look at it. And once they did, they took over and they were just racing each other on a simple circular course that went under our dinner table. And they were racing each other on the time trials. And it was like, this has completely got mass appeal. My wife played it. She just kept driving into a door over and over and didn't seem to understand how to turn left, even though she drives and has driven longer than me. But she enjoyed it. She did a time trial. She thought it was cool. So it is definitely, like, it is really is something to it.
Yeah.
But it's still 100 quid.
Yeah.
And next gen's out next month. You know, that's 100 quid on something that's going on my shelf that'll break out now and again. Or 100 quid towards a Series X, Series S, PS5.
I mean, if it was 50, you know, if it was the price of the game, if they just sold the game and that, maybe, no?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could probably use that as a webcam. It's USB, you know, let's say it's USB. It's USB-C, I believe, so you just plug that into your computer and I reckon you could use it as a webcam. It'd be a weird webcam to be looking. I mean, what would you see? You'd see this. You know, you'd be looking at this. Like, I'd be looking up into that camera going, hey, look at me. It's Mario. It's Mario Mario. maybe you should have got the... It's gone on now. Let's see. Press the button now and it's started lighting up. There is a button on it as well, for the record, just to show it is actually... There's a button that you used to sync it and turn it on. I like it. It's very expensive. I just don't. It does this thing like when you're racing courses that it augments the reality. Like, so you do a Grand Prix, and that's obviously more than one course. But each course, then it will suddenly make it look like you're underwater. It will change the visuals. And
you know what? It'd be cool. And you know what? Do you remember the game show from years ago, Game Master, when that was show with Dominic Dodd? That would be really cool in that. If you had a big course set up with those where people sat up, because you wouldn't need proper go-karts and cars. You'd have little tournaments on a mount. That would be awesome. Maybe they should do that. Bring it back. We'll bring it back. God is a geek.
God is a geek master. We definitely won't. But, you know, it's cool. And that's what it is. It's cool. I can't tell you if it's a 100 quid call because every single person is in their own unique financial situation.
If I bought it for my kids, they would get 100 quid out of it. Because I'd be like, play with the Mario Kart now.
It's something that... it's a really difficult one because the three of us, that underneath your Christmas tree would have been like, oh my God, this is amazing. Kids now... I don't know so much. If they're big into the Switch and they love their Nintendo, you know, do they love Mario?
If I got my kids a box and it just had a piece of paper in it that said 1,000 V-Bucks, that's it. I don't need to do anything else. I don't care about anything else at the moment.
No, I get that. And if maybe they'll make Fortnite-themed ones, I don't know. I must admit, for some reason, I opened the box and I expected there to be the Luigi one as well. And there isn't. Like with kids, you've got two, you know, Mick, you've got hundreds of kids. Chris has got two daughters. I feel like it could actually cause arguments, whereas they could be playing together.
I mean, kids, you're going to get more out of it, I think, probably in the long run, playing with somebody else. And also, I know it's good that you can pass and play, but...
Yeah, but like also, I say it's a remote control car. There's no kid going to be driving this round the park where they're all skating around and they're like...
I bet they're doing the adverts, Switch, don't they?
It's just not... You get beaten up.
I bet they're doing the adverts where they're all sat in a skate park in northeast London at midnight in the dark playing a Switch and no one's robbing them.
No, it's absolutely fine. That is about all we have time for this episode, this show. We have so much to talk about coming soon. And I hate to be that guy of teasing it, but I mean, Mick, you're literally reviewing two games that when this podcast goes live, the embargoes will be lifted. Yeah. Or lifting soon after. So, but
next week, coming next week on God is a Geek, Cyberpunk 2077.
Yes, I mean, all I would say is for those listening ahead of time via Patreon, keep an eye on the site on Monday and keep an eye on the site on Friday. And that's not breaking any embargoes because I never said anything about what they would be on the site on Monday and Friday. And probably I would imagine some stuff in between then as well. If you do want to become a Patreon and get access to our private Discord where we chat about all sorts of stuff and we had fun with a little picture recently, I'll say no more than that, Simon Belmont. But patreon.com/godisageek is where you can find that, and that's £1 a month. £5 gets you an exclusive extra podcast, £10 gets you exclusive videos. We do code drops, there's loads of stuff on there and we appreciate it, and that all goes directly to the team. That's the end of the sentence. It all goes directly to the team, as does everything. But Chris and Mick, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That really is a podcast. Follow us at God is a Geek on Twitter. That really means a lot to us. Follow us everywhere at God is a Geek. We're on everything, everywhere, all the time. That's the way the world works.
We are everywhere.
And apart from OnlyFans.
so far, we've stayed... And do you know
not
what?
Yet.
I've started getting emails to do with OnlyFans to my God Is a Geek account, and I wonder if they're going to push into gaming.
Do it.
No, not for me to do them. No one wants to see that. And on that note...
I don't know. You'd be surprised. Rule 34 would argue otherwise. Yeah.
No, Rule 34 is exempt when it comes to me. We will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now, everybody.